Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. This is Monday, May 12th, 2014. We're coming to you live at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time from the East Coast. And I am so excited because this is my one-year anniversary broadcast. I cannot believe that it was a year ago. It was May 6th of 2013 when I started on the Life Coach Radio Network with Spiritually Speaking. I was actually the very first solo-hosted show on the network. I started at the very beginning, and it's just such a thrill to be sitting here and talking to you a year later. I'm really looking forward to tonight, to having a chance to recap some of that, to have the opportunity to have you call in and become a part of the conversation. The number, just so that you have it right off the top of the hour, is area code 646-716-9397. It's 646-716-9397. And for those of you who are new to the show, I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler. I am a spiritual life and leadership coach in private practice. You know, you often think about, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean, a spiritual life and leadership coach? Well, I work with individuals who want to deepen their own personal spirituality, who want to use that deep spirituality to go out and do good work in the world. And if you want to do that and you want to figure out what you need to do that and how to get started, that's what I'm there for. And I just work with individuals to try and help them to really just become all that God is calling them to do and to be in the world. If you want to know more about that and more about this show and the work that I've been doing, I invite you to visit my website. My website is www.seed, SEED, spiritualcoaching.com. SEED stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction, and that is the work that I do in the world. I also blog and write at 365 Days of Women's Wisdom, which can be found at www.womenswisdom365.wordpress.com. That's a WordPress site. And I really invite you to go there and to read the quotes that I've been putting up, the poetry, the original pieces that I've been writing to put on the blog. It's just been a collection of women's wisdom that I started on January 1st of this year that I plan to continue at least through the end of December of this year. And I'm just really looking forward to hearing from you in that forum as well. And again, this is a call-in show. I invite you to join the conversation. The call-in number, once again, is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And I hope that you'll, when you call in, you can listen to the show on that if you're not near your computer. But if you call in and you want to be placed in the queue, you want to ask me a question, please feel free. Just hit the number one, and that will make sure that you get placed in the queue. Now, this is a celebration of my first year on the air. And tonight I asked a good friend and a good friend of Spiritually Speaking, Rebecca Stevens, to join me. Rebecca's been a host on the show twice now, been a regular listener and has called in on a number of occasions, and it's just wonderful to bring Rebecca on, to have her as my conversation partner tonight as we look back on this past year. Rebecca, are you there?
I am here, Jen. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I think it's, I really appreciate the fact that you could come on with me tonight and talk about, you know, some of the interesting characters that I've been able to have on the show over the past year. I was thinking back today about my very first show, and I thought, oh my goodness, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea how this is going to work. I'm just going to get on the air, and I'm going to have some things that I read, and I read some pieces from my friend Brian McLaren's Naked Spirituality book, and I read a few pieces from other things that were meaningful to me. And, of course, I was completely unprepared for the fact that nobody usually calls in. but it worked, you know, it all worked out really well. And yeah. And I thought at the end of that first hour, okay, well, if I could sit and talk for 60 minutes, on the radio where I don't know who all is listening, and you know, and these things become archives and are saved at downloads, so it's really a matter of trusting that whatever message God has placed on my heart to spread into the universe, that in one way or another it happens, and that the people who need to be a part of our conversation, whether it's live and in the moment when we're recording, or it's after the fact where someone comes across a broadcast and they listen to it and are blessed by it, then I feel like that is the, you know, that's really been the mission of Spiritually Speaking for me over the past year. I'm wondering, as someone who's been a regular listener, how has it come across to you?
Oh, gosh, Jen, it's been refreshing, to be honest. We have so few forums like this as women to listen to other women talk about, you know, real, tangible, faith-based topics, and, you know, that we can really connect with a greater world out there, and, you know, through you, which I think is a really special gift. Also, you know, your guests, I mean, I won't put myself into the mix, but your guests are fascinating. They are interesting and educational. Particularly, this wasn't a show about, that had a guest, but I particularly liked your show about travel. And I think that was really a special take sort of on the idea of travel and how that can be so fulfilling to us. And also I loved your marriage and relationships show with Tommy and Karen. Even as someone who's not in a relationship, it's valuable to hear those things, and it's valuable to hear perspectives, that have similar values, I guess, to me, mm-hmm. Or similar interests. So I'll go back to the word refreshing.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I also appreciate that you and Brian were the first guests, the first special guests on Spiritually Speaking back in July of last year. Mm-hmm. And I think that was when I realized as a host how much more fun it can be when I have somebody who's on the air with me. And, you know, we're able to just, you know, have a conversation. And I think it for me, it's a lot more fun. And I think for our listeners, it's great to hear different perspectives. And that show was on music as a spiritual practice and the ways that we use music to deepen our spirituality. But, you know, I really have been incredibly blessed by, I think, the multiplicity and the different kinds of folks that I've been able to have on the show. I did a show in August with Reverend Dr. Eric Elmas, and I would highly recommend to those of you who are, you know, if you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, you're accustomed to getting your media from the Internet. And Darkwood Brew is a Sunday evening show. I don't know, Rebecca, if you've been a watcher of Darkwood Brew, but it's a wonderful forum. It's a video broadcast. It's interactive. They do blogging, and they answer people's questions, and people can send in questions to the show, both for Eric and for his live guests. And that happens on Sunday evening for a lot of folks. I know for one colleague of mine, because she is working in a church on Sunday morning, she feels like the only place that she can worship mm-hmm. is on Sunday evenings at Darkwood Brew. So
absolutely.
That's been a really cool blessing. It was wonderful. Eric's been a friend for a long time, so to have him on the show was great. To have Tommy Brown on the show, who does college life engagement coaching with college students and works with them to make sure that they're getting the most out of their college educational experience. It was wonderful to talk to him. My friend Russ Cherry was on twice for talking about gratitude. The first time before he came on, before he wrote his book, and then a second time this spring after he finished it up. Wonderful conversation on grandparenting and theology with my friend Dr. Bruce Epperle, which is an amazing show. And I would go back and listen to that again and again, just because Bruce is incredible articulate about theology, and he's such a beautiful writer, and it was just so much fun to have him on the show. Really fascinating conversation for me was the one that we did last November about hip-hop spirituality.
Yeah.
And I just had I'm such a novice. I'm such, a middle-aged white woman from, not even though I was living in New York City at the time. I think, I just don't know hip-hop culture and hip-hop spirituality and really getting a handle on that and the ways in which that is just such a wonderful, beautiful life force for faith and spirituality in the world. We talked around Christmas time about the grief and dealing with grief around the holidays with Dr. Martha Jacobs, who's an amazing, both a pastor now. She's a pastor at the First Congregational Church in Chappaqua, New York, and she's just an amazing individual. She's in a hospital setting, and just an incredible friend and colleague who talked about spirituality and coaching, and really wonderful conversation with another friend, Jenny Brown, who has started a group called Speak Safely after the death of her daughter, Kirby, as a spiritual speaker, and how do we bring, ethics and a deeper understanding of, the sum of the spiritual, the folks who are sort of out there as leaders who are tapping into the need within, many young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults around spirituality, and just making sure that there is some ethical and safety guidelines in place to ensure that, there aren't lives that continue to be lost because they are following a particular leader and a leader who's not taking safety into concern. So last month I had a wonderful conversation with Walt Walters, a friend in Seattle, who talked about the Overflow Project and the ways in which churches and individuals are using that to deepen their spirituality during the Easter season. So during this season of Easter, I've been working to really simplify my life by being much more intentional about buying, you know, simple ingredients and not processed foods and things like that, because I think that, you know, there's all of these pieces around the processing of our food that then adds to our environmental degradation. So if I can get to a place where, you know, I'm purchasing things that don't require to be put in a box or a can and am able to really sort of take on that discipline of simple eating and then, again, sort of the money that we save from doing that will go to water projects for individuals in the developing world in places that are in desperate need of water and clean and cleanliness. So anyway, Rebecca, I'm curious to find out from you, as someone who has been listening to the show over the past year, you know, what has intrigued you? What has really kind of captured your attention or your imagination?
You know, Jen, I think what makes the show especially unique is that it's very multifaceted, but still focused. So, you know, there's a spiritual aspect. You have a very, you know, you have a very kind voice, so it's sort of nice to hear, you know, your voice on the radio. And then with your guests and your topics, they're all sort of current and focus on things that we can see and hear and taste and touch and be a part of every day. You know, and what you were just talking about with the Overflow Project, that, you know, that's something we can start on now. And it's something that individuals can get behind. And so I think the you know, the fact that you're talking about so many things that we experience every day, and then how that can apply to our spiritual well-being and our spiritual health and growth. I think that might be a little more general than you were looking for, but I really think that's sort of the heart of what's been so good about the show. And I think that hearing your perspective, you know, your journey, your personal journey, your faith journey, sort of mixed in with all of that is really quite nice and helpful. And I can always speak, you know, for myself, but I do hope that others hear that too. I think they do. And, you know, it's just a very inviting place to listen to commentary and dialogue about issues that really matter.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I really appreciate certainly your kind words. But I do hope that it is an inviting place where folks feel that they can call in and join our conversation. And I want to give our number again, just in case you're listening, you want to call in, you have a comment to make, you were struck by something that you heard maybe on a previous episode or something that Rebecca and I have said tonight, you're always welcome to join us. The call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. I'm struck, Rebecca, just by the, you know, kind of what's been going on in the world right now and the ways in which, you know, we reflect on that. I certainly continue to be concerned about the young women who were kidnapped in Nigeria, and really read an amazing blog piece about this, where it just kind of raised the issue about, you know, because I know for a number of folks, the question was, you know, well, there are young women who are kidnapped around the world and who are trafficked. every day, and you know, and we don't hear those stories, and I completely appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I think that we don't tell those stories nearly enough, but mm-hmm. here was a group of women who were, you know, 16 to 18, they're being educated. They were not merely the, you know, the future of their village, but really the future of their country. These were mm-hmm. really remarkable mm-hmm. young women, and the fact that they were kidnapped en masse by this terrorist group is really troubling, and I think that we have to do whatever it is that we can do to raise the conversation. I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are with regards to that.
Yeah, I'm always struck by the way the media portrays or celebrates even human tragedy. And I'm never I'm never in a good place with it, and I'm never comfortable with how tragedy is brought to us in our living rooms or on our, you know, iPads or whatever. So I am thankful in this particular instance. First of all, this may be a debatable topic, but I'm very thankful for social media when things like this happen. You know, we have a very powerful tool with social media and with technology. And if we can hone our utilization of these tools to make the world a better place, I think that things like this can be very quickly and directly addressed. So I think that the media response, I will say maybe the corporate media response or the 24-hour, you know, news cycle response is always mm-hmm. going to be disappointing. But our own response and how we deal with it is our responsibility. So, you know, being present on social media or even talking to people in your community, and also, again, just kind of walking the walk. You know, how can we, in our own communities every day, keep our, you know, be aware and self-aware, and hopefully, you know, we can share tactics, skills, and knowledge, you know, to other people too. I come from a family of educators, and I'll always believe that when you see a problem in the world, it's most of the time due to a lack of education. And I think that when people, I can't speak as an expert about the terrorist group that did this horrible thing. But I do think that if we educate people in all corners of the earth, we won't see these radical groups coming out of the woodwork. I think education.
Yeah,
is
I would have to agree with
that.
You, especially around the media response and the social media response.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, we've really seen a democratization, if you will, of the media, so that you know, the hashtag bring back our girls, where, you know, I definitely have read and heard some pushback of the question of that being somewhat patronizing, and that, you know, they're our girls when clearly they're not. I mean, they're
right.
Certainly someone's girls, but I appreciate that, and I appreciate
sure.
the sort of the privilege that enables one to call anybody ours.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to use that as a tool to
mm-hmm.
To get the word out, I'm, you know, reminded that until Color of Change and other social media outlets really picked up on the Trayvon Martin case, nothing was being done about it.
Right.
And I think it's very likely that the only reason why that came to trial was because of the increased pressure from social media, from online petitions, from people being made aware of the situation, of the story, of what happened, so that
yeah.
they could then become a part of the conversation. And I completely agree with you that that is certainly one of the learnings, I think, about when we hear these stories. And these young women were kidnapped on April 15th.
Mm.
And, you know, it's now it's almost been
right.
a month ago. And
yes.
it's really only been within the last week that this has been getting the media attention that it deserved, and
mm-hmm.
that has been driven by social media and by raising this issue onto a an international stage where
yeah.
So that other folks became involved and wanted to learn more about what had happened and see, is there a way for those of us who are halfway around the globe can benefit
yes.
and can be helpful in getting these young women back to their families. So, and I think especially given that yesterday was Mother's Day, certainly, you know, folks could very deeply appreciate the pain of having
yes.
a child and being separated from one's
mm-hmm.
daughter on that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know that Mother's Day is challenging for a lot of people. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's
mm-hmm.
something that we don't think about behind the Hallmark cards and the flowers and, you know, on Mother's Day. And there are a lot of women out there who are really suffering on Mother's Day. And it's just something to always keep in mind, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to throw the telephone number out there again, if you're listening
yeah.
and you want to join our conversation. It's 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. We're coming up to about the halfway point in our show, and I welcome you to join into the conversation. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca Stevens, who's coming on tonight to talk about our end of the first year recap as a regular listener and a participant on the show. And as you were saying, Rebecca, I know that Mother's Day is a real challenge for a lot of folks. And I had a girlfriend who's an associate pastor at a church in New York City just post on her Facebook page that for her, being a pastor on Mother's Day is really challenging. And she lost a child in the last year. She understands
wow.
that for many people who don't have children of their own, women who don't have children, that there is pain involved with that. There is certainly pain when we have estrangement from our mothers, or if mm-hmm. we've lost our mothers to death or to even, you know, dementia or mental illness.
Right.
And it's, I think it's, there's a lot of pain there. I mean, you and I were talking about this a little earlier tonight, where
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of at the end of the day, or actually even the beginning of the day yesterday, I was really like, sort of, okay, I need to fast from Facebook,
yes.
just for my own mental health
yes.
and
yes.
welfare.
Yep, it's the same thing that I do on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah, it's another one of those days.
Yeah,
where
I mean,
you don't have the picture perfect.
Yeah, and you know, I was singing the praises of social media earlier, but there is sort of a downside to it. You know, I mean, people do want to talk about their wonderful lives, and I don't blame them. And I certainly love to talk about my wonderful life on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
My wonderful life doesn't include a relationship or children. And mm-hmm. so, you know, which is something that women are expected to have, especially if you're over 30. And if you don't have a boyfriend or husband or girlfriend, and or you don't have children, you know, you must be either selfish or cold or ugly. You know, there's all of those things. And I think I sort of have this eternal debate about it, though, because I do think, in fact, almost a year ago, it'll be June 3rd, will be a year, my nephew was born. And I was there throughout the labor and delivery of my sister going through with my nephew. And I got to tell you, after witnessing that, women who go through childbirth or adoption or custody, they deserve their own day. I mean, you know, they deserve their own day.
So it's not what everybody to understand. It's not coming from a place of we don't think that mothers are amazing people.
Right.
They are.
Right. And I don't personally have different women feel differently about this. I don't personally have the desire to be honored on Mother's Day as sort of like a mother to all. But I do wish that there was more celebration, you know, throughout the year, frankly, about what women do for our communities and for each other and for other people's children. You know, I'm a children's mm-hmm. choir director, and I've, you know, you do all kinds of things when you work with children. And, you know.
That's really true. You know, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, everything from blowing noses to, you know, answering the question, what is cancer? I mean,
right?
I've done all
yeah.
of those things with children who don't belong to me. And so I think it's less about trying to claim or reclaim Mother's Day, but more about, again, this is just for me, more about feeling recognized and valued the other 364 days of the year as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I do, you know, my sister has given me my only niece, and now my niece is going to be giving me my only great niece. I have two great nephews, and
yep.
We have another little girl on the way. She's due on Labor Day, so we're very excited to welcome that little one to our family. And I think you're right. You know, I mentioned this in my blog, and I do think that there is, you know, there is just a certain amount of pain for for some women who don't have children on Mother's Day, by choice or not, for many or most of them, choice or circumstance. And, it's, you know, I just, in my blog post, I just wanted to acknowledge that. And to acknowledge that step-parenting can be an incredibly difficult situation. And I have read that in a, on a couple of, like, Facebook comments on some different Mother's Day posts, and I thought, yeah, you know, it's the thing that we don't ever want to talk about, that step-parenting is really a thankless, in most cases, many cases, I should say, and I should really only speak from my own situation, but it's a pretty thankless job. And you do everything that you can, and you love them as much as you can with everything that's in you, because you've taken this on. But you don't know, really, I didn't know what I was walking into when I walked into it. And I really, I don't know how I could have. And that it would be such a difficult and to go through. And you know, and as you are well aware, Rebecca, I love my life. And I feel blessed beyond measure. But I never expected that my life would be one without children. Or one without my own children. I had always expected that that I would have children. Well, you know, now I'm approaching 50. That's not going to happen. And at this point, it would make me so tired just thinking about it that, you know, I couldn't do it. And well, that would be, you know, certainly my desire.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so interesting because I don't have children, but I was married, and, you know, this idea that, I mean, you know, minutes after I got married, people were asking us when we were going to have children, and not asking my husband, but asking me, you know, and assuming I wanted.
Because it's your job.
Yeah, and I did want children, thank goodness, you know, because then when we got divorced, you know, minutes after that, people were saying, oh, well, thank goodness you don't have children. And I'm like, well, yeah, exactly. You know, thank goodness that I had the, you know, the independence of mind to not give in to the societal peer pressure of procreating, you know, just because I've got my husband nailed down. And I think that, you know, we don't let women take that journey on their own. And then, you know, and if circumstance says, you know, that it's not going to work out or you're not going to have children or whatever, you know, then it's like something we have to ask forgiveness for or something. Like it feels very like something that we did incorrectly. You know, I'm just not down with any of that. I think that women are not allowed to choose. I don't want to get into like a big like cry fest over it, but you know, if we really, I think I can say of the young mothers that I know and that I've had this kind of conversation with, all of them say, you know, they wouldn't give back their children for anything, of course. But if they had known, and if they hadn't had so much pressure from their family or from their whoever,
they would have waited to have children.
Right.
And, you know, it comes with a lot of maturity to wait, and it comes with, and again, some women may not choose to have children. Or some women may say, you know what, I'm in an abusive relationship. I don't think this is healthy, a healthy place to bring a child into the world. So I think it's all about choices. And then when things are taken, when the choices are taken sort of beyond our control, just recognizing that that wasn't in the cards and not, you know, not of the fault of a woman.
Yeah, no, and I think that's true, and I think it's so easy to to say, well, you know, if you wanted to have children, you would have had them. You know,
that's terrible.
Well, yeah, and it's not true. You know, I mean, that's
no,
not,
it's
true.
Not true.
And I guess, you know, my heart certainly goes out to the women who I've known over the years who have so desperately wanted to mm-hmm. have children and haven't for one reason or another. And mm-hmm. all of those who have lost children either at birth or before birth. I mean, my sister lost her first, and my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, lost her first child. And
wow.
those are, you know, and of course, you know, over time, over the years, I have to believe that the pain lessens, but
mm-hmm.
there's
mm-hmm.
always that hole in your heart of where
yeah.
that that child was supposed to be, you know,
yeah.
and other you know, moms whose children, for whatever reason, have just really had significant challenges and are not close. And you know, for the mothers, all of the mothers out there who don't know where their children are, you know. So it's just, and I described it in my blog post on 365 Days of Women's Wisdom as really an emotional field of landmines.
Yes.
Where
yeah.
there's just, I think there's, it's so wonderful that we take a day and we celebrate motherhood. And I think it's for some that it's just incredibly painful.
Yeah,
reminder of...
No, I'm sorry to interrupt that. I was going to tell, you know, I went to brunch yesterday with a church member, and I ordered a mimosa, and the waiter said, oh, are you a mother? Because we're giving away free mimosas to all mothers. And I said, well, no, I'm not a mother. I'm happy to pay for my mimosa. But, you know, that was sort of, I mean, the poor waiter didn't know, but, like, you know, that is one of those landmines, you know, and obviously I don't have children by choice. But, you know, like you were saying, a lot of women, it wasn't their choice. You know, it was tragedy or circumstance or whatever. And, you know, that is a landmine. I mean, that's and going full circle, the social media, I mean, it's just, that's just landmine after landmine.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and I do think that there are ways that we can be more sensitive and be more loving towards women in the church, particularly. You know, I mentioned in my post that my husband gives out flowers to all adult women in the congregation in memory of his mom, because his mom's been gone for 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And also just because he says that, you know, and he really believes, and I agree, that by virtue of our baptism, we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, mothers and daughters and sisters and aunts of all of those within Christ's family. So we mother, and
yes,
mother being a verb, other people's children, as you were saying, especially in the work that you do in the church with other people's children, you act in that surrogate role very often. And so we celebrate that as opposed to, and I have been in churches where, you know, they ask all of the mothers to stand. And usually it's men who do it because they don't understand that's painful. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I do think it's, you know, helping us to maybe change the way that we think about Mother's Day and the value that we place on women, and the really the, you know, the ways in which women are valued or not in our society, you know, has a lot to do with all of these things that we've been discussing today. So I just want to give the telephone number one more time. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. We've got about a little less than 15 minutes left, and we have a big announcement to share, which I'm really, really excited about. And we wanted to move in tonight to talk a little bit about, and we started on this last week, Rebecca. We started talking about the, you know, different ways that the church is being church. And you and I were talking today about how so many of those are being led by women.
Yep.
And I don't think that's an accident.
No.
I think that you know, it's because we think about what it is that we do in the church and how we care for one another and how we build relationships with others in community, I think in very different ways than men do. So so I'm curious, we talked a little bit about St. Lydia's and not so churchy. I'm wondering if you could just talk to our listeners about those communities and the kinds of ways that they're being church differently.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll say this, that somebody asked me the other day, I'm going to seminary in the fall, and they asked me what the ordination process was, you know, how do you become a preacher? And I said, well, technically, anybody can be a preacher. I mean, anybody can go out and, you know, rent a building or buy it or, you know, rent a room or set up some chairs in their living room and preach to people. And, you know, what's happened, I think, in the Christian church is that women, frankly, have been, you know, marginalized for a long, long time. And so what's happening is that women are starting their own churches.
Absolutely.
You know, these aren't just anybody. These women are highly educated. They are incredibly intelligent. They're driven. They're focused. And they really just care about the church and their congregations and their communities. So St. Lydia's and Not So Churchy are two of those communities here in New York. They both meet in Brooklyn, and they are both led by women. Both women are friends with each other, and they're also friends with and so it's an incredibly supportive community of women church leaders. I mean, they...
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, Rebecca, we're going to have to take some time and get Emily, who's the pastor of St. Lydia's, to come on some night and have Mika, who is the pastor of Not So Churchy, to come on.
Absolutely.
Because I would really love to, as we step into this second year of being spiritually speaking, really emphasize and lift up these different models of of doing church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, St. Lydia's does a, twice a week, they do what, it's called dinner church. And they literally sit around a dinner table, share a meal that they've all helped to prepare. They have Emily, the pastor, Emily Scott, she gives a sermon. They sing. Oh, the singing. The music is so incredible. And it just feels like the best family. It feels like that, I mean, I don't want to say the Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving, but it feels like that family gathering that you always wanted, where everyone was just free to be themselves. Everyone was happy to help and to serve. And, you know, it's just such a wonderful atmosphere. I mean, atmosphere is not even a good, it's not even a strong enough word, but the way that church.
It's just a way of being with each other that's very life-giving and life-affirming, and and really is going back to those of our listeners who are Christian, going back to the early Christian church and the ways in which the community gathered together around the table. And and we still, you know, in our more traditional worship services, we gather together around a table. But we don't, except in these newer kinds of, which are like the old becoming new again, newer ways of being church together, we're, you know, so communion happens in the context of the meal. And so the Eucharist is celebrated within the context of the meal. And so that's St. Lydia's. That's Table Fellowship in Brooklyn. It has spawned quite a bit of a conversation around the country. There are other table churches that are springing up in different places. I know one that's in the planning and getting started stages in Massachusetts, in the Amherst area. So it's really exciting. So let's talk about Not So Churchy for just a minute.
Yeah, so Not So Churchy is affiliated with Presbyterian Welcome. And Presbyterian Welcome is the advocacy nonprofit for LGBTQ folks in the Presbyterian Church, but also just across the Christian faith. It is directed by Mika Vandersall. And Mika, she tells a really beautiful story about how Not So Churchy came about. So I won't try to reiterate that story, but I'll just say that she, you know, felt a need for a different kind of church, just a different kind of place for people to come and to hear scripture in different ways. She, at each service, she uses three different musicians, all of three different sort of styles, to sing their Eucharist, you know, to assist with the Eucharist, to sort of voice scripture, and to also sing prayer and gathering songs. You know, it's just, and they meet once a month, and I think I'm hoping that
on Monday night, I think it's usually the third Monday of the month. It's
going
to be this Monday, the 19th,
exactly,
a week from tonight. Yeah. And they meet at the Lafayette Avenue Presbyterian Church in Fort Greene. So, and I just wanted to put a plug out there, too, that in the community where I live, which is Catona, New York, Northern Westchester County, at the Catona Presbyterian Church, Mika is going to be presenting a conversation, starting a conversation with the Catona community around same-sex marriage and marriage equality. Mm. So she's going to be up here at the Catona Presbyterian Church on next Sunday evening from 7 to 9. And anybody who's in the area and is listening is welcome to come. I will be there as well, talking about my experience doing same-sex weddings in New York while I was pastoring at the Park Avenue Christian Church. So it should be a great evening. We're looking forward to that. And Rebecca, as we close, because we are getting towards the end our second half hour, I know, it's crazy how quickly the night goes, but we are really excited to be kind of launching this in a new direction and bringing out more and more voices, both of women and men, who are doing pretty remarkable work in advocacy around LGBTQ issues. It could be advocacy around climate change and other issues of justice. Women and men who are thinking and rethinking doing church in a new and different way. And I'm really excited to announce that I have a new co-host on Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, Rebecca Stevens, who is, as she mentioned earlier, will be attending seminary in the fall at Union Theological Seminary, training to become ordained in the Presbyterian Church USA, is going to be joining me as my co-host. So we will be spiritually speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca, and I know that I'm so excited and so great to have another voice that's passionate about faith and spirituality and really thinking deeply about these topics and helping bringing other voices into the conversation. So I am just so excited, Rebecca, to have you as a part of this team and to be in ongoing conversation with you as we move forward with this show. Is there anything that you want to say at this point?
Yes, I want to say that I am thrilled and honored. I mean, Jen, you know, I have so much respect for you and your sweet husband and what you all do with your everyday lives. And, you know, as I start this journey in seminary, you know, you folks out there will learn more about my journey to get to seminary, which has Jen Kotler all over it. So, you know, this is just a real honor for me. I do hope to bring a different different's the right word, but, you know, a additional voice to the program. Mm-hmm. And I hope people will call in with challenging and insightful questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they will, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build the audience of folks who listen to us, who hear us at whatever point they are in their journey, and hopefully that they will be encouraged on their journey moving forward. Rebecca and I co-presented at the Wild Goose Festival last August, and we're both going to be there in attendance this June. Just want to put a plug in for Wild Goose. If you want to find out more about it, go to wildgoosefestival.org, and you can learn more about it. It's going to happen the last weekend in June in Hot Springs, North Carolina. It's going to be a wonderful event, a great time, and I encourage you, if you're on a journey, if you really want to be in conversation or you want to meet more people who are on that journey too, who don't have all the answers but are probably still trying to figure out the questions, that's us, and we'll be there, and we'll be looking forward to being in conversation with you. So, Rebecca, as we just kind of wrap things up, I want to remind people that if you want to know more about the work that I do in spiritual life and leadership coaching, please go to my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. Seed, S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com stands for Spiritual Energy Engagement and Direction. You can contact me through that. You can email me. You can use the contact on my page. You can go to my page, click on the tab for Spiritually Speaking. You'll see the archive for all of the Spiritually Speaking episodes that we've had up until this point. I encourage you to go back and let me know. Let me know what you think about the program. What would you like to see more of? And I know that Rebecca's going to be setting up a Facebook page for us in the next week or two. So we'll invite you to like our Facebook page. And we just would like to be able to be, again, in ongoing conversation with you. So, Rebecca, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you wrap
us
up.
Do we have time?
Sure.
Do we have time? Okay.
We have time. Yep.
So I wanted to just end the show today with an Irish blessing, but I'm a musician, so I have to sing it, of course. You may know it. This is just for everyone out there. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Jen for all of your meaningful and powerful work.
Thanks. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may you be held in the hollow of God's hand. Amen. Good night, everyone. We'll see you in two weeks on May 26th at the same time for Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.